just be directed towards God. I believe it already is. I believe that the church is going to, God's going to bless everyone here today. God's desire is to bless everyone.
Amen.
And you made an effort to be here. And God took notice of that. And there's ones that aren't able to be here. And their hearts are wanting to be here. They want to be here in body, but they're here in spirit. But you're here in body and in spirit.
Yep.
Let's just entertain the presence of God and let him have his way in this place. And just to be in one mind and one accord. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we are here, Lord, of like-minded people, brothers and sisters,
Praise the Lord, loved ones, Lord, in the faith of Jesus' name, Lord.
Lord, I pray, Lord, that we be in one mind and one accord today, Lord. I pray that your spirit, your will would have its way in this place. In Jesus' name, Lord. May your kingdom come and your will be done, Lord. Lord, may you bless every individual in this place that made it here today, Lord. And the ones that aren't able to be here, Lord, but their heart is here, Lord. I pray that you'd bless them where they are in their homes today, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
Jesus. 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 There's just something about
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the first verse. You can sit when you wish.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in, glory to His name.
We're singing
glory to His name. Glory to His name. That saves from sin. I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to glory to His name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name.
Yes,
glory to His name. Glory. Glory to His name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of time wading in the water, ankle deep, waist deep, chest deep, to just plunge in all the way. I could have saved myself a whole lot of frustration and aggravation if I just kind of plunged myself into what God has for me. That means plunging myself into His love. Just being overwhelmed with His love. That's the Holy Spirit right there. Just to be immersed in His love. Aren't you so thankful that you've been immersed in His love here this morning in Jesus' name? Yeah, with an uplifted hand, you can testify. Lord, I've been immersed in His love in Jesus' name. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. You can be seated at this time. I'm just reminded today about it was not too long ago. There was a picture in the Philippines when they had flooding a few years ago, and there was people standing knee deep in water, and they were actually in a church service. They had these little plastic chairs, these stackable chairs. They were standing in front of, but they didn't let nothing deter them from coming to worship, to gather together to meet God that day. And I just think what it is today, you know, we got pounded. I want to say I got probably 20 inches of snow on my deck right now. I don't know what the actual total accumulation is for the whole week, but we got to be pushing that. It's, Brother David said, he goes, I haven't seen this in a very long time. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't either. So, and another time I was on my first mission trip, we were in Brazil, and that day they had the first service, and they had a lot of rain that day. And I remember going uphill, and they had these speed bumps. And we were, instead of going downhill, we went uphill. And when they had this rainfall coming down so hard, it was looked like we were driving up a waterfall almost. It was crazy. And I remember people pouring in 2 hours after the service started. They're like, man, I just want to get to where God is. I remember, I'm thankful for the music team that we have here. And we're blessed every week to have what we have. And there's churches a lot bigger than us that doesn't have near what we have. And I remember somebody showed up to church on that very first service and on that mission trip I was at with an acoustical guitar. And they did not let nothing deter them from worshiping. I never seen anybody worship and with such passion, enthusiasm as that man did with his guitar. And I remember at the end of the services, there was praying. A lot of things you don't understand when you're going to another country because they were speaking Portuguese, and Brazil is Portuguese is their language. And they would tell me that man and his wife are receiving calling from God that night. And I was just like, man, this is incredible. The only man that brought a musical instrument to church, people driving for hours to get there, and God is calling him into ministry. I was like, man, this is incredible. And you could just see the anointing that came upon them and the people that were praying for them. So I just wanted to feel like I should share that with you for making the effort to come here today. What I want to talk to you this morning about, and I just ask that you would teach with me, because this is one of those things that we're going to talk about living in Christian liberty. And a lot of us, including myself, when I started studying this, isn't really what we think liberty is. A lot, our world that we live in has a very obscure, tilted perception of what liberty is. And especially people in the Christian realm also have a very twisted idea of what Christian liberty is to them and way it should be. And then they'd even try to impose it on us. And Paul was one of these forerunners that says, you know what, this is Christian liberty, and I want to share this with you this morning, and I want to do some reading, and you can stand if you'd like. If you don't want to stand, I totally understand. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. In Galatians 5:12-21 says, I would they were even cut off which trouble you. In another translation, in verse 12, it says, I just wish that those troublemakers who want to mutilate you by circumcision would mutilate themselves. I kind of thought that was funny, that Paul was so upset. He was very zealous for the church, and the way that he saw it, that he never saw it before in his whole life, that he saw the church as it should be, not about do's and don'ts, but about there is freedom and responsibility in my Christian walk. It says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, not only to use liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall... forgive me for that, I just repeated myself. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you would be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like. Of these, which I tell you before, as I also told you in the times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You could say, you know what? I'm pretty saved. I've covered pretty much everything there. But, you know, I say, you know what, I'm not an idol worshiper. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a drunkard. But there's one thing that I remember Brother Cawthorp, I heard in one of his messages, and he pointed out revilings. Does anybody know what revilings means? I shared this with a youth class not too long ago. Revilings is a form of verbal abuse. It's when you're talking about somebody, towards somebody, maybe you're mumbling something that maybe just out of earshot, but maybe it's within earshot of somebody and they can hear you, but they don't understand what you're saying, or you're talking behind somebody's back and you're trash talking them. That's reviling. And maybe there's envy, maybe there's strife, maybe there's something. But those are things that the enemy knows he's not going to get us by drunkenness. He's not going to get us by murdering, per se, but he's going to try to ease his way in here to try to get you to envy somebody else, to try to size you up with somebody else. Lord, you know what? God made Brother Al. We don't need to kind of try to compare ourselves amongst ourselves. That's not what we're supposed to do. You know what? We make ourselves miserable. We put on ourselves low self-esteem, and it's just so unnecessary. But these are some devices the enemy's going to try to do to try to creep into the church. Not some of these other big things. Oh, I'm pretty safe from the big things, but you know what? If somebody did me wrong, am I going to go talk to somebody else in the church about it? No, I need to go to that person one-on-one and take care of it right there and get it settled. Because I don't want discord to be in the church, because I want the Spirit of God to flow and to move in here. But if I hold this within and I got to let it out, and I let it out to somebody other than the person that I have wronged or has wronged me, then the flow of the Spirit could be hindered. And I don't want to do that. Lord, help us with these areas. And you know what? They're going to creep in. We got to be aware of the devil's devices on how, and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit and not just being so concerned with do's and don'ts is going to help us in these areas. In an article entitled Liberty and Responsibility, Inseparable Ideals, in 1996, Max Moore wrote, "The founder of the American political and economic system felt a burning desire to establish a country of unprecedented liberty. America still inspires those seeking escape from or reform of their own country's political arrangements, but its example no longer seems to be to shine as brightly today. Over the course of the century, the ideals of liberty and personal responsibility have increasingly drifted apart. This means both ideals, liberty, and responsibility have become distorted. Personal responsibility can't exist without liberty, and liberty will not endure without responsibility. Liberty without responsibility is license. The survival of liberty requires personal responsibility." And just like, I don't know the exact quote, but freedom in our country is only, we're only one generation from it. And we have to maintain this, so we carry it down. I am so thankful for this church and the generation. When you see 34,000 people go and worship in one place that come through all parts of the country, and they sacrifice their funds to get there, there's a good generation that's rising up in the church, and I'm so thankful for that. And I know that the older generation feels at ease when they see that, when they see the hunger and desire for more of God in this world, and it's going to be manifested through them. And the numbers are incredible. I believe there's like 5,000 or 6,000 that go to General Conference, but 34,000 went to Youth Congress. That's like six full times what is done there. And I understand it's a licensing and a ministering, and there's business that takes place there, but the hunger in this generation is just incredible. And it's amazing. I'm thankful to be a part of it, and we're all alive to see it, and that's awesome. There's some things that Paul, he had persecuted the Jewish Christians who professed salvation as apart from the works of the law. He became a follower of Christ by divine revelation. He also confirmed his revelation by intense study of the Old Testament scripture that pointed to the new covenant in Christ. And he also visited Jerusalem and conferred with Peter and James to affirm that the message he had received, studied, and now proclaimed was the same message the apostles had received from Christ. That's something awesome to hear around new converts. Paul was a new convert, and he had such a hunger for God. He got in the Word. He got in that Old Testament. He said, you know what? I was passionate. I had a zeal for God, but I needed some tweaking. But if I'm going to get into this, I'm going to be all in. I'm not going to be halfway in. I'm just not going to be a Sunday Christian or Wednesday Christian or Christmas and Easter Christian. I am going to put myself into this. I'm going to put myself into the Word. I'm going to put myself into praying and fasting and more praying and more fasting. I'm going to be around other people of a like-minded faith. I want to get into this thing. I am all in or I am not in at all. And God, that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for somebody that's halfway into this thing, but he's looking for somebody that's all in. And I'm so thankful for the church that when we have times when our cup isn't running full all the time, that we can get together like this and we can be encouraged around each other. I am so thankful. I am encouraged by everyone that is here this morning. It was 6 o'clock this morning, and I was thinking, man, church is going to get called off. But there are people. Spencer came from Plano. I don't know. Brother Howard from Yorkville. You guys, there's a hunger and a desire for God. The name of Jesus means something to you. What God did meant something to you, and it shows it. And you guys are a living testimony here today. But you are a living testimony for us throughout the week also and for those that we don't know. And I'm so thankful for the church. Aren't you thankful for the church? I want to give God a hand. Christian liberty causes us to consider the feelings and the level of Christian maturity within fellow believers. Paul says, don't use your freedom to satisfy your own sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. If there's any place that I can go and feel loved, it's a church. And if there's any place I can go and not feel ashamed of my past, it's also the church. Sister Graham, I'm going to use something. Literally, I was laying in bed. It was 11:21 at night, Friday night, and I pulled up your post that you put on Facebook this week. A Christian without a church is like a honey bee without a hive. We need the church. Agreed? We need the church. When I see something that I need, it's not just a necessity, but it's something that I appreciate and I treasure and I'm so thankful for. There's gratitude there with the church. Paul also explained to the Galatians that one could sum up the law in one word. It's love, which we manifest in our love for God and for one another. Moses exhorted the people in Deuteronomy 30, and he says, the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. And he says, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Then thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes. There was also a circumcision on the day of Pentecost. There was a heart cut there. And that's something that we need to pray for, is that, Lord, I want to have a sensitive heart towards you. Whatever you have a heart towards, I want to have a heart towards. Whatever breaks your heart, I want it to break my heart. If you have compassion towards that person, I want to have compassion towards that person. If you love something, I want to love something. If you hate something, I want to hate it, and I don't want nothing to do with it also. You got to look at both ends of this. Some Israelites tried to develop a genuine relationship with God. Many others perceived that the rules as merely outward demands to be obeyed out of fear and manipulation. I've seen this in the church myself, where people would have a great experience in God, and then they would fall into the trap of, okay, I got to do this. I can't do this, but I can't do this. Something happened there between their experience with God and along the way in their relationship with God. Something just traumatically happened. And you've seen it, and I've seen it. And that's where we pray for one another. And we pray for the ones that have been derailed. Let's see. It says, the Old Testament prophets recognized that the Jewish culture, as God had intended it, had instead enveloped into one trying to earn God's favor by following the rules only. There's only one. There's ones that will put a spin about on everything. And if you just, you could, everything has a spin on it. We have CNN, we have Fox News, we have MSNBC, we have all this. And you, if anybody has ever watched a presidential debate or watched anything when the president gives his address, you could flip on one channel and they're going to interpret what he really said. And then you're going to flip on another channel and say, no, this is what he really said. And you got all these spin doctors and these people saying, this is what he really meant to say. And it kind of blows my mind that there are people in Christianity that also do this as well. And they will derail people. And I've had somebody strongly, like literally, no, you don't need the Holy Spirit to be saved. Now, Tom, I'm just quoting this word for word. Now, Tom, you don't need the Holy Spirit. And you know what my response was? I love you. But I've experienced too much. I've been around this too much. You're not gonna You're not going to convince me. You're not going to derail me. Because you know what? What God did for me is I can't walk away from him. And I'm a part of a church that is solid. You know, I'm a part of this church body and sandwich, but I'm a part of this church that is global too. And I love when I see people that I've never met before that you know that they are part of the church. And I'm not going to walk away from that from anything. I'm not going to walk away from that from somebody trying to derail me, from trying to convince me, to try to persuade me with a great persuasion. I'm not going to do it. My mind's made up. It's okay to be stubborn in some ways, okay? And this is one way that we can be stubborn and have our mind made up. I love you, but you're not going to convince me. You're not going to derail me. I'm all in. I'm not backing out. I'm not in this for Sunday, and I'm not in this for Wednesday. I'm in this from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. I want to dream this stuff in my sleep. I want to eat this stuff. I want to consume it. I want to be consumed. I want to be immersed. Oh, aren't you thankful for the immersion that God has given? Oh, I'm thankful for his presence, and I'm thankful that we could just go under at times. And I'm thankful for that first time God filled me with the Spirit, but I'm so thankful that I could just be refilled over and over again. I could be that cup that just runs over, that one that just, it's all over the place. Wherever you go, there's evidence of that cup that's been kind of moved around because it's an overflow. That forgiven soul has been, there's something God has done to that person where, have you ever been somewhere and says, why are you so happy all the time? Brother Al, have you ever had that? Why are you so happy? You know, you're supposed to be miserable. If you're in construction, you're a bad example if you don't drink and you don't smoke and you don't swear. So I'm a pretty bad example, I guess, when I'm in construction, when I'm going on the job sites. But you know what? I just had last week, somebody asked me again, what do you believe? What does your church believe? What, you know, I got to share them that there's more. I go to a Catholic church, but you know what? There's more. God filled me with your Spirit. I was baptized in Jesus' name. I spoke in tongues. And you know what? I'm talking to a guy. I got my tool belt on. And this guy, they're up in the air on a lift about 20 feet in the air. And we're having this conversation. So people are hungry. People aren't waiting for a particular time. They're not waiting for a lunch break. They're not waiting for you to catch you out in the parking lot. They want to know what is going on. Why are you so happy all the time? Why aren't you miserable like everybody else in this place? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. If I don't do this because of my love for God, and it becomes all about do's and don'ts, then my relationship with God is definitely derailed. Wouldn't you agree? Because of my relationship with God, I do certain things and I don't do certain things. I go to places and I don't go to certain places. I am close to certain people and I keep my distance from certain people. And that's all in having the proper relationship with God. I can love them, but I need to keep my distance. I can love somebody, but you know what? And they'll know that, and they'll respect you for it. I love you, but I got to love you from right here because I can't go where you're at. Brother Spencer talked about where you're carrying your cross. There's certain places that if you want to get to, you're going to have to put that cross down because it's not going to fit through certain doorways. There's certain doorways that I don't need to go through. There's safe places. This is a great doorway to get into right here today. You're in a great safe place here this morning. Paul was grieved when he realized the Galatian Christians had fallen under the influence of Judaizers, these do's and don't teachers who argued that salvation came only not through Christ, but also through keeping the ceremonial laws, such as circumcision, observing the Jewish holy days, and conforming to Jewish dietary rituals. Do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts will derail you. And if you feel like you're caught into do's and don'ts, and if you encounter somebody, a brother or sister, that you start to feel like there's some do's and don'ts there in their life, and they're stuck on do's and don'ts, you need to pray for that individual. You need to pray with them right on the spot. Lord, help them tender their heart. Because you know what? Their heart just got covered, and some film got over it, and it needs to be recircumcised. Their heart needs to be retenderized again. Lord, give me a tender heart. Lord, I'm going to stand in a gap, and I'm going to pray for that individual until that person's heart becomes tender again. I remember, I just recall this, Brother Cawthorpe, Sr., when he was raising his children, and I maybe Brother Alan, Sister Christy can remember this, that Brother Brent, one time when he was in high school, he wanted to walk away from this. And mom and dad says, this ain't going to happen. They were in his bedroom, And they would not leave until their son got a breakthrough. There's some people that aren't going to get breakthroughs until we get a breakthrough. We need to be the vessels for that breakthrough for those individuals. And I feel so confidently that we are on the verge of certain breakthroughs in this church. And we have hidden these walls. And we've gotten pretty far. We've done pretty good. But good and greater are two different dimensions. And God wants to take us from good to greater. And I believe if we just keep pressing towards a mark, we are in the fourth quarter. We are in the final hour. If we just keep pressing with our whole heart, we give God our everything. And we press through barriers, through places in the spirit, through in prayer and fasting and reading and consecration that we never done before. And we do this collectively. We do this individually. We're going to see unprecedented things. We're going to see things that we have never seen before. We've heard about it. We've heard it prophesied for so many years. We've seen people come and go and say, yes, we've heard this happen, and then they walked away. But I'm believing. I'm still pressing. I'm still hoping. If God has given you that hope, and has bring some things to pass, some past things that he has promised you individually and has promised this church, don't give up. Keep pressing in. That is not an accident. It's a God thing. When God puts that in your heart and your mind, and you did not let that go. He made an effort to put that in your spirit to say, I'm gonna help you to not let that go. You have some things in your life that are incomplete, and you are complete in me, and this is going to come to fruition, and you could fill in the blanks right now to what is going across your mind. God knows right where you are. He knows how far it's been. Things don't automatically happen overnight. God said, Mary, you'll have a child. But you know what? It took 9 months from when the Holy Spirit was conceived in her to the time of that birth. Some things do take time. We got to be patient with certain processes, but we have to trust God along the way. A lot of times we get caught up in right here, right now. And this is my prayer that I've had lately towards God. Lord, I'm just a vapor. I'm just going through this, and I'm on the last half of this little puff of a vapor that's just going through the air through eternity. Lord, but he's still teaching us patience. He's still teaching us endurance. And it's not easy because our human nature kicks in. But you know what? There's something about being led by the Spirit. We need to be led by the Spirit and let God. A lot of times we just cater to our flesh so much. You know what? We need to say, you know what? Enough is enough, flesh. I'm going to let the Spirit take over. This flesh has been weak, but you know what? I'm going to declare war on the flesh. And I want to say something that God spoke to me, I believe, in a dream towards the end of this. And I believe it'll bless everyone here. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit brought liberty to serve both Christ and each other out of love rather than mandatory regulations. The carnal man sees bondages, do's and don'ts, but the spiritual man sees holiness is freedom. And one example that just pops in my mind, I will never forget, from the first week God filled me with the Spirit, I went over to the Paris' house, and I saw Morgan and Hope. They were little, but they had the long skirts on. And a carnal man will say, you know what, they're in bondage. They have to do that. But the spiritual man says, you know what? There's such a freedom that they have. And it didn't register until God filled me with his Spirit that there is such a freedom in holiness. It is not about do's and don'ts. It's because my love for God. I love him. That's the way I dress the way I do. And that's the way I don't dress the way I do. It's because of my love for God. And they showed it. And they're still an example. All their children are still in church today. But I will never forget it. Going there. And it registered that there is freedom in holiness. It is not about do's and don'ts. And we need to encourage each other in this in the church. Many who profess Christianity overlook the fact that liberty never excuses sin. God doesn't judge us according to the rules we broke in our past. He judges us according to Christ's sacrifice that paid for our sins. Because we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, we no longer are bound to earn salvation by good works. In fact, it's impossible. We've never been able to do it anyways. Salvation sets us free from our sins and gives us the liberty to manifest good works through the power of the Holy Spirit. Christian liberty never justifies sinful living. Matthew Henry is a commentator, and he quoted this. Liberty we enjoy as Christians is not a licentious liberty. Though Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, yet he has not freed us from the obligation of it. The gospel is a doctrine according to godliness. Paul hoped his strong teaching regarding Christian liberty would result in the Galatians pulling themselves out of the reach of the Judaizing teachers. He saw the trap that they were going into, and he's like, no. He was mad. He was zealous. He was zealous towards tradition, but he had a conversion. He had a circumcision. He became zealous towards the way it should be, and he became an enemy of something that he was a proponent of. And it was so awesome to see how God is able to change Paul's life. And it's so awesome is we can look back and look at each other and say, you know what? The fact that I'm standing here today, the fact that we are here today where we are is just nothing short of a miracle when you think about it. And I'm first generation. Some of you are not first generation, but it is still a miracle that you are where you're at today. You are a walking miracle. You're a walking epistle. You're a walking example for each other and for the world out there. And that is so awesome. Paul realized that the works of the flesh would prevent him from inheriting the kingdom of God. However, the Holy Spirit working within him would produce the fruit of the Spirit if they would cooperate with the Spirit. Why cooperate with the flesh? The works of the flesh, not good. You're not going to make it. The fruit of the Spirit, you're going to manifest. You're going to see that. And you know what? If we see the fruit of the Spirit of love towards one another, that's when you're going to know that you are his disciples, your love for one another. You can be gifted. You can operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit. But if you don't have love for one another, I would keep my distance from that individual because that person is dangerous. It is a love for one another. God says, I want you to take notice and I want you to know that you can associate yourself with those people. I'm going to try to get through this quickly as I can. There's regard in service, in its service. Cain's murder of Abel showed his lack of regard for anyone other than himself. Most sins emanate from selfishness. Paul referenced his ageless teaching of selflessness. They should not use their newfound liberty in Christ as means of having their own way. Now they had the power of the Holy Ghost to give them the ability to truly be their brother's keeper. And this is kind of what we're talking about today, to be an example for each other, to encourage each other, to pray for one another. Let me speed through this. Love is also manifested by laying aside the right to please themselves. The Galatians believers fulfilled the law of Moses. Love God and love your fellow man. When Jesus was asked, which was the first and greatest commandment? To love the Lord God with all thy heart and soul, mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He said, those two are together. Those two coincide. That one does not exist without the other. You can't say you love the Lord God with everything and not love your brother and sister. You can't say you love your brother and sister and don't pray and read your Bible for a whole month. It does not work that way. It goes both ways. The Christian life involves choices, and right choices also take effort. The Christian must turn his desires away from the flesh and redirect them towards living in the Spirit. It also involves warfare at times. One can compare the Christian life to a man hacking through the jungle. In 1 Peter 5:8 says, Peter wrote, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking around, seeking whom he may devour. Walking in the Spirit is also difficult at times, not because the Spirit is weak, but the flesh is weak. And Satan is cunning and full of hate towards the Christians. And I think about this at times, and there's many times, and you could probably testify of this, where you've come into church yourself, and you feel like you've kind of had to whack through the weeds. You've had to kind of walk through some tall grass to even get in here. And now that you're in here, you still got some other things that you're battling with. And when the praise singer starts singing and the musicians start to play, you're like, you know what? I still got my machete out because I'm still hacking through these woods. You know what? I need to break through some barriers because I wanna please God. And I've had so many distractions this week. And I've had so many things happen to me in the last month, in the last year. And is anybody testify of that? That you need to feel, you feel like you come to church with a machete? You're like, man, I need to just clear some things out of the way. You know, you don't mean to offend anybody, but you're like, hey, get out of my way. I need room to worship God right now. I need time to give him some praise. Paul and Silas were in prison. He's like, you know what? You can put me in prison, but you're not going to stop me from praising him. Let's see. In Romans 6:14-15, it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. We have a freedom, but we also have a responsibility. The only way this is going to work is by staying plugged in, by praying and by reading, by being part of the church, and having a sincere heart towards God, being filled with the Spirit and being led by His Spirit. I wanted to share this with you. I kind of hesitated, but I feel like I can do this as I want to bless somebody here today. There's some dreams that I share with people that I'm kind of reluctant to share with. I heard Josh Herring say this. Once you verbalize a God-given dream, you just declared war on the enemy. And this is something that I want this to be encouragement. I remember distinctly that I was on a job site, and I was in the back of a parking lot, and there was a dumpster out back. And I walked around back behind the dumpster, and I saw these power tools. I saw a nice Makita cordless sawzall, Brother Hell. I saw some other nice just tools in really good shape. And I saw these bags. You know what a white bag is? It's a Klein tool bag. Whenever you see a Klein tool bag, there's probably, if this got probably more than like 5 or 10 pounds of weight, it's probably over $100 worth of tools in there. And there's the good stuff. And I saw all these tools. And I'm like, man, I just don't want to see them go to waste. But the only thing that was missing, Brother Yale, was the batteries to these power tools. God has given us tools. He has given us everything that we need. He has given us those hand tools. He has given us those power tools. If we are lacking in the power, it's to be plugged in. The only way to be plugged in is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. It is impossible to do anything. It is impossible to have Christian liberty and be responsible without being plugged in the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to be our brother's keeper without being plugged in the Holy Spirit. God, if we stay tapped in and powered up, all those tools become active. And God's given us ability on those hand tools to use them. We have the Word of God. God has gifted people in our church with certain abilities, and we have certain tools in our church that God releases when they're tapped in to Him. If we could just stand at this time, I just want to take a few minutes in prayer. And if we could just kind of come together and pray for one another, to be our brother's keeper, to have a sensitive spirit towards one another, towards maybe somebody that isn't here today, that we could pray for them, to be an encouragement to. A lot of times, almost all times, we need encouragement. We need to encourage each other. And we can encourage somebody by being an example, by letting our light shine, not beating them over the head with a stick, not forcing them to grow, but letting them grow on their own and showing restraint. Liberty is also showing restraint. Is when you see somebody new in the church, and I'm saying this by faith because we're going to see this church grow. When you see somebody in the church that is new into this, allow them to make mistakes. Allow them to grow. Allow them to develop. They're going to get this. And remember where you are when God first changed your life, when you had your spiritual birthday, and God started flipping that light bulb on, and the words of the Bible started coming to life, coming right off the pages. And you're going to be excited. You're going to encourage them. You're going to be there for them. But love them, encourage them. I'm saying this by faith. Allow them to grow. Don't force them to grow. And sometimes that we have to hold ourselves back, but we're going to see them grow. We're going to see them get grounded. We're going to see them get rooted. There's areas where we need to grow. I don't ever want to stop growing. I don't ever want to stop being teachable. I want to be further along than I was last year. And where I'm at today, I want to say, you know what? I've moved forward in this walk in my relationship with Him. If we could just gather around for the next few minutes and worship God and pray before the class comes on.
See if you can find this on the overhead.
I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I will not be swayed with the world behind me and the cross before. By the grace of God, I will serve the Lord. I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I won't be ashamed with the world behind me and the cross before. I will serve the Lord. I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I won't be ashamed with the world behind me and the cross before. I will serve the Lord. I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I will not be swayed with the world behind me and the cross before. I will serve the Lord. I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I will not be swayed with the world behind me and the cross before. By the grace of God, I will serve the Lord. I have made my decision. I have staked my claim. I have drawn a line in the sand, and I will not be swayed with the world behind me. Cross before, by the grace of God, I will serve the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise
you,
Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
To follow Jesus. Jesus.